Streaming to you from the Plastic Microphone Studios, deep in the heart of Cajun country, this is Fave 5 from Fans. I'm your host, Jamie Ray, and I'd like to welcome you to episode number 121. Today, I've invited George Wolf to the Plastic Microphone Studios to discuss our Fave 5 Flintstone episodes. Boy, I was able to get that out. George is a writer for Mad Wolf, co-host of the Fright Club podcast, and works at Saga Communications. He's also a DJ. He's the assistant program director, assistant production director with the Columbus Radio Group at WSNY Radio Sunny 95. And probably the top of his list is he's married to Hope Madden. Oh, what a guy. We just finished wrapping up an episode of Fright Club, and now it's going to be me and George, mano a mano, talking about the Stone Age. Welcome to the show, guy.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. Been looking forward to this, making my list, checking it more than twice. And yeah, this is great.
I'm sorry I forced you to watch so many Flintstones episodes. I just feel terrible.
It's good homework just to revisit a bunch of these. So much fun.
Well, cool. Well, why don't you tell us why we have picked, because you and Hope do a show all about horror. You, of course, you guys were the reason I started doing what I'm doing, because I love your show so much.
Thank you.
But why are we doing Flintstones? And first of all, I love that, because it's about people's passions, and we don't get to hear about that on your show. So tell us why we're talking about Flintstones.
Well, it came out of listening to your episode on The Simpsons, because we are also huge fans of The Simpsons, huge. And so we were going back and forth, oh, this one, that one, whatever. And then that just immediately thought, well, I'm also the animation. I'm also a big fan of the Flintstones. And I thought, boy, if he ever wants to do a Flintstones, I am down. And it was very easy after listening to the Simpsons episode.
Well, awesome. And I see you've dressed for the part today, too.
Yes. My Grateful Fred. Grateful Fred shirt. I had to dig it out of the basement, but it was perfect.
I love that. And I hear you have all of them on DVD, too.
Yeah, found a set off of eBay, I think it was, years ago. Uh-huh. Was easy. You know, they're nicely categorized by season. And some of them threw me because the actual title of the episode is not what I thought it was.
Oh.
And so that I was looking for a certain one that wasn't the real title. So I had to do a little digging, but I found the actual title of the episode. So it's educational as well.
That's great. Well, you know, so a little bit behind, if you're listening to the show and you're not sure what the Flintstones are, they were an animated series based around two families, the Flintstones and the Rubble families, who were pretty much next door neighbors. And it was set back in the Stone Age time when dinosaurs and cavemen lived next to each other in a fictional town of Bedrock. And it was first came out in September of 1960 and ran for six seasons through April of 1966. And it was the first animated show to ever be on a primetime slot on TV. At the time, they had a lot of different guests that would come on from current TV shows. And it had just all kinds of different cool little things. Our modern devices that were basically brought on by the Stone Age. So like the dishwasher was an octopus, and the record player was a bird that would go down on it. And it's 6 years, but then they kept coming back and back and back. And one of my choices actually comes out of one of the shows where they redid it.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's going to be an honorable mention, it is still prevalent today. They made something not too long ago where Fred was in on it. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like 2012. There was some kind of crossover. I remember it in my, I'll have to go back and find it. But anyway, so it's time for us to hop in our wooden car and join the cavemen fun. So before we get started, what was one of your favorite prehistoric devices?
Oh, man. Well, the record player was a good one, because I also love that they almost always then talked. They would say a little aside like, it's a living or something like that. Which the record player always did, out of the vacuum cleaner or whatever. Yeah, so okay. I probably have to. The octopus was a good one, but mm-hmm. I have to say the record player was fun
with his dishpan tentacles.
Yeah,
that was just in an episode that I just watched. So, Well, great. Well, I think that kind of brings us up. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about Fright Club and where people can find you and all your socials and stuff.
Oh yeah, Fright Club is a not only a podcast but a film series. We do two Fright Club podcasts a month. One is in the studio, and one is live here in Columbus, Ohio, at the Gateway Film Center, where we record it in front of a crowd and talk about a certain category of horror movies, and then we show one of the films we talked about. So that's a blast. We've been doing that for a while, and you can find us all over. We've got the Fright Club Pod on Twitter/X. We've got a Fright Club Live on Instagram, and then Mad Wolf Columbus on Facebook and Instagram, and the main website where everything lives is madwolf.com. So we try to cover all the bases, and if that's not enough, we'll come to your house.
All right. And just want to take a minute to give a shout out to Seth Scarius, who is a shared supporter of our shows.
And
he's there in your area. But every time I have an episode, he's always coming out and giving me his own choices and just always giving me support and stuff. And now that I know that you guys are together, of course, you just did Splinter, which was a fantastic film, but I'm going to have to make it up there and see one of them and meet you guys in person and maybe have some beverages.
Yeah, that could happen. And Seth is great. He does the same thing to us. He always has so much great input because he knows his stuff. He'll oftentimes point something out and like, yeah, he's right. So yeah, he's great.
And his lovely wife, she's always giving me the big head. So awesome. All right. Well, we have been tasked with making our lists of our fave five episodes. And I gave you a little leeway to make honorable mentions. Of course, the record right now is 16, but I know Mark Sino is going to be making a list of 57 in our newest episode. But do you have some honorable mentions?
I do. Basically, they're moments. Because really, when I sat down to do this list, I have one number one episode that is far and away number one by a mile. And the rest, I had like 30 I could have chosen. So I pretty much, the other four, I pretty much just almost picked out of a hat. Uh-huh. But I have moments that are great, maybe if the entire episode doesn't hold up. And just those are the Hot Piano from number 19, the anniversary song. Okay. Happy Anniversary from episode 19. I love that. Also the rock roll episode, Twitch, that song from episode number 65. And Marg Rock from episode 89. I love that song. I Love Your Butt, Ain't Gonna Be Your Fool. And that they don't realize it's Ann Margrock until the very, very end, which is hilarious. Yes. The drive-in song, Burger on a Bun, when they run the drive-in from episode 13, that's great. I love the line, and I use it here on my radio show, the line where Fred yells at Barney, "How do you like them woofers and tweeters, Rubble?" when he blasts that record player into his ear. I love that line. That's from episode 109. And then the I Love My Vilma song from episode 87 by the Swedish guys that are in the garage singing about it. I Love My Vilma. I love that song too.
That one I'm sure of.
Those are a bunch of just random moments from episodes that I guess count as my honorable mentions.
There you go. And hey, it's our show, so you can put whatever you want. So I actually have three honorable mentions. And my first one is the one I touched on earlier. It was not in the original series, but it kind of came out later on. And I'm talking about Captain Caveman.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Captain Caveman. It would come on the Scooby. It first came on in 77 on the Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. And they would have a couple of different series. And, you know, of course, Flintstones had one of them. And this was just, I don't know why. I just love the fact he's a big, not a, a, he's a pair of, not instead of a ball. He's a pair of hair. And I loved it so much that his Captain Caveman, when I had my very first website that had sound on it, whenever you'd hit that website, it would have him moving it in a bad GIF and saying Captain Caveman to
you. Wow. Yeah, so I do remember.
I loved him.
The Laugh Olympics. Yeah, mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so my two honorable mentions would be season 3, episode 2, Fred's New Boss, where Fred decides to help Barney after he gets fired to get a job at the quarry. and he ends up becoming Fred's boss, the vice president. And it just doesn't go well for Fred. He can't be happy for his friend. But in the end, of course, like every episode does, they end up getting all back together. And I think Barney goes back and gets his old job back, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then the Dr. Sinister episode
mm-hmm.
from season 5, episode 8. This was just a really fun episode. They mistakenly they're headed to get some Brontosaurus burger buns.
And some buns.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and some buns. And they end up coming up to a foreign agent who gives them the secret. And Dr. Sinister's people pick him up. They take him to the cool lair in the volcano. And everybody's trying to convince, you know, we're not, you know, these guys. And at the very end, poor Barney and Fred, they get back home finally. And all Wilma and them could say is, where are the buns? So those would be my two favorites. I remember Dr. Sinister, but honestly, it wasn't until I did this deep dive that I realized it was on this show. I couldn't place it in all the animation, because Hanna-Barbera's all have a lot of the same look to them, which is great because you know what you're getting into. But I really enjoyed finding that and rewatching it.
Well, that's perfect because that's perfect because that is my number 5 Dr. Sinister episode.
Straight into it.
That's great. Yeah. And it's one of the things they did that I didn't realize at the time when I first started watching this as a kid. I didn't get all the cultural moments they were sending up at the time, and a lot, and some of the humor as well. So this is a take on James Bond, and the character that the guys watch is Jay Bondrock.
Bondrock.
And his catchphrase, some woman tells him that you're wonderful. He says, I know. And that's his catchphrase. And it, one of the things we love about this is Madam Yes. She is the woman that ropes them all into this. And she calls them, you handsome, good lookings. And she's voiced by the same voice of Wilma. Jean Vanderpool also voices Madam Yes. Love Madam Yes. Love the judo chop chop that they do to get out of the situation. They've got the homage to Bond with a pendulum. There's a swinging pendulum that almost cuts Fred in half. The Brontosaurus burgers and some buns, all of that. And it all the Dr. Sinister's lair is in a volcano, which is a direct homage to James Bond. You Only Live Twice. The villain has a lair in a volcano, and Dr. Sinister has a world destruction machine patent pending.
Love that.
So, yeah, that's my number 5. That's a good one.
And they take out all of his henchmen, who are the original clone troopers, because every one of them was the same, exactly the same,
with judo chop chop.
Well, that was a great pick. Obviously, you have good taste, my friend.
Yes, good start.
So I'm going to drop back on that one with my number 5, which you've already brought up, and that's Anne Margrock Presents. I love, you know, Anne Margaret. She is awesome. The Elvis movie that she's in. But this is really great because she's really sweet in this film.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up, like you said, she's Anne Margaret in town to give a performance. And she just has to get away from it all. And her car breaks down in front of the Flintstones. And they think she's just a kid, you know, a young lady. And so they hire her to be Pebbles, you know, babysitter. And she sings this really, really sweet song, the Littlest Lamb song. It's so amazing. And then at the very end, like you said, the Fred and Barney, they're feeling bad because they don't get to play in the show. And they were going to have Anne Margrock, who didn't know who she was, who had been helping her. And then come to find out, she's the big star. And then she brings them on. Mm-hmm. And it was really sweet because you saw the heart that Fred and Barney really have. Sometimes, you know, things don't go quite that well, but their hearts were in the very, very good place for her. And it worked out really well.
Yeah. And then even at the very end, they're yelling at her, Annie, what are you doing? Get off the stage, until they finally get it through their heads who she is. And talk about Anne Margaret. I mean, kids, look, I know Sydney Sweeney is all about it, but look up pictures of Anne Margaret from the 70s. Holy moly. She was smoking.
Just watch Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so talented.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got our 5s out of the way. What's your number 4?
Well, number four, let's go to September of 1961, second season, third episode, The Missing Bus.
The Missing Bus. Okay.
This is where Fred takes a job as a bus driver. And it has some iconic lines. They kind of use one on my shirt. This says from bedrock to dead rock. In that one, if you remember, the one driver that Fred meets in the coffee shop where all the drivers meet, the line that sets him off was the route from bedrock to red rock. And he comes over to Fred. Did you say red rock? Red rock? And it just sets him off. And he's got these deep-seated psychological issues because of the kids on this route, which I think is hilarious. And it's got all a bunch of just little funny moments. And a couple of things to note. The boss in this one, Fred's boss, is not Mr. Slate. His name is Mr. Granite, although it's the same character. His name is Mr. Granite. The bus runs not on feet. It actually has an engine.
Oh.
Instead of Fred's 2 feet. You've got the bedrock to red rock route. And you've got little things like Fred's boss at the bus company is J.J. Carborundum. And he's smoking this big cigar. And Fred wants to quit. But J.J. talks to him about, no, you've got what it takes to be a bus driver. And it's hilarious. He's like this old time, Southern plantation owner or something. Everything about this is over the top and has little funny moments and just things about it that I've always remembered, like the bus drivers, when he walks in the coffee shop to take a break after he delivers the kids, he's waiting to pick them up at school, and they've got all these signs, be quiet, and he just makes one little noise, and they all freak out because their nerves are shredded from being bus drivers, which I think is funny.
That's hilarious. That is an excellent choice, sir. And so I'm going to parry that with my number four, which was another sweet episode. I'm starting to see a pattern here, but we're talking about season four, episode three, back from October of 1963, when we first meet Little Bam Bam. Excellent episode. Betty and Barney stumble upon this baby, but left on their door, which of course Barney opens the door and doesn't see anything. It's hilarious. And they fall in love with the little tyke, who is incredibly strong. And so they're want to do the right thing. So they take him to the welfare bureau, and they're like, we found this baby. And it's kind of like, I guess, a lost wallet. If nobody claims it in a little while, you get to take it home. Yeah. They say, yeah, don't worry about it. But then they get a phone call that the affluent Pronto Burger, and with his slick attorney, Perry Masonary,
yes,
comes in court, and we really feel bad for Barney and Betty, because it's like they are losing. This is a rich person, and it's great because you could tell that they really are going to be good parents, because they realize that this guy could provide a better life for them. And so they're ready to give him up. And then Mrs. Burger comes in and she's pregnant. And so now they can have Bam Bam and they take him home. And the way that Bam Bam and Pebbles end up having this just amazing relationship all through the rest of the show, it's just very heartwarming. And I love everything about this episode.
Yeah, that's a sweet episode. And also, I didn't realize at the time, it was later when I grew up, when I thought, Barney and Betty, maybe if you didn't sleep in separate beds, you might have your own child, but that's a whole nother that's a whole nother thing for the censors at the time, I guess. But no, you're right. That's a sweet, it's a sweet, caring episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember that one. So, all right. Well, let's hear what your number three is.
Number three, and this goes right in line with my love for horror films. This is from October of 1964, fifth season, seventh episode, A Haunted House is Not a Home. And this features the great Uncle Giggles Flintstone, where Fred finds out that he has been left the estate, all the riches from his rich uncle Giggles Flintstone. But there's a catch. All he has to do is spend 24 hours in the mansion to claim the funds. And so he gets Barney to stay with him. It's too scary for Betty and Wilma. They don't want any part of that. They leave. And so, of course, throughout the night, many scary things happen, led by Uncle Giggles' henchmen, his workers. He's got creepers, the butler, Potrock the cook and Wormstone the gardener, and they do various things to try to and make Barney and Fred think that they're trying to be killed all night long as they get through the night. And then what do they find out in the morning when the lawyer shows up? Is that nope, Jay Giggles is not dead. He's been looking at them up on that weird picture on the mantle
yes
all night. It was just a test to see if he's worthy of collecting the money at the time. And then Fred freaks out and says, well, he can be nutty too, and takes off after him with a meat cleaver or something. And I love the little tributes to horror movies. There are moments when you hear Giggles Flintstone's evil laugh throughout the mansion, and Fred and Barney's hair stands straight up, which is funny. They're just Barney tossing and turning throughout the night, trying to sleep, is funny. They're just little moments that call back to love of horror movies. And at the very end, when Fred goes crazy, Giggles just said, he's flipped his wheels, which I think was funny. So yeah, this one I've always thought of as one of my faves, Uncle Giggles, which is actually titled A Haunted House Is Not a Home.
Yes, that is such an amazing pick. You're such a smart and well-defined man. That is also my number three.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I love the fact that all of the weapons are switchblades, like a switchblade cleaver and a switchblade a chopping knife. And the way that when you're talking about Barney flipping and can't get comfortable, finally the picture slides back and he chops the man into two.
Yeah.
And now suddenly he can sleep.
Yeah, it's great. And this also features one that is a different voice of Betty. If you listen to it and think, oh, Betty sounds different. Wasn't the main voice. Jerry Johnson.
Really?
One of her episodes as the voice of Betty, which just sounds a little different. But yeah. They're not, Betty and Barney aren't, I mean, yeah, Betty and Wilma aren't in this episode too much. But it does, it did kind of jump out to me. The voice was different. But this is a goodie.
Yeah, and I loved how Uncle Giggles wears a barrel.
I know. So,
it's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and you get the sense. I mean, throughout, when it starts, you can see the eyes of the picture move.
Yeah.
So at first it's creepy, and then you feel, well, he's been sitting up there the whole time just laughing.
Which is not creepy at all.
No.
Well, great pick, sir. So we are now at your penultimate choice for your favorite. There you go. I use my $5 word. I've got to use it every episode. So why don't you lay that on us, sir?
Well, this is another one that has a great song in it. The Flintstones has a bunch of different songs, sometimes by the guest stars of the day. And this is one. This is from September of 61, I think, second season. First episode, The Hit Songwriter, featuring Mr. Hoagie Carmichael. And this is one of the guest stars where they didn't change his name like to fit the Stone theme, like Perry Masonry or Peter Gunite. But Fred and Barney become songwriters. And Hoagie Carmichael helps them out because they plagiarized. Early on, they take this song to try to get a contract, and it's plagiarizing Stardust. The tune is exactly the same, although the words are horrible. But they end up writing this song. Actually, Hoagie writes it and sings it, Yabba Dabba 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 Doo, which is a great song. I still sing it today. It's so catchy and so clever. And this is one, it's funny because if you watch the episodes throughout the seasons, there are some times when the boys have musical talent and sometimes when they don't.
Right.
And this is one where Barney can play the piano. He can play very well. And this is one of the episodes where Fred can sing. Other times he can't. This time he can. And they play a Stoneway piano. And they gets to a big banquet at the end where they get to play the song and they help out with Hoagie and he's singing Yabba Dabba 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 Doo. If you don't know the song, look it up. It's incredibly catchy and the lyrics are very, very clever. And this is one, we talk about voices. This is one where Mel Blanc was not, he had a very serious car accident back during this time and he almost died.
Wow.
And Mel Blanc was in a, from what I understand, was in a full body cast.
Wow.
And a guy named Dawes Butler filled in for Mel Blanc for about five episodes. And this is one. So the voice of Barney is a little off. You can definitely hear that it's a little different. But other than that, it's hilarious. And I just love the song.
Wow. That's great. It's going to be my ringtone. Well, I will pair that one with my number two, my penultimate choice, with two great guest stars that one would not expect to be on Flintstones. I am talking about season six, episode six, Samantha. This is the one where Samantha and Darren Stevens from Bewitched end up moving in next door to them. And very quickly, Darren decides he is going out on an adventure. So Sam stays home. And then the guys just get all macho and they're going to go camping. And they don't want the girls coming because the girls, they're women. They're going to get out there. And she uses her little do, 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 throughout the film, even though Darren had told her not to, and there's a lot of fun. They go out and she's constantly changing like a little bitty cub into a huge lion and then back
Right.
again. A lot of fun. I enjoyed hearing the voice of Elizabeth Montgomery. The character design looked just like her because, I mean, literally, she's animated at the beginning
Yeah.
of the Bewitched show. And
Yeah.
this was just a lot of fun watching the rivalry because, you know, Fred and Barney can get a little up in their head sometimes. So it's good for the women to put them back in their place. So I really enjoyed this one.
What season did you say that was?
Season six, episode
Yeah.
six.
Yeah, that's a later one. Yeah, I remember it, but I had kind of forgotten about it. Yeah, one of the times where they used the pop culture celebrities of the day and worked it into the show. Yeah, like an Ann Margrock or Hope. Yeah, that's a good one. I remember that specifically, her changing the little cub into the big scary tiger. And then when Fred's scared and he brings the girls back, it's back to a cub again, right? And they're like, "What are you
Exactly.
scared of?" Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, speaking of good ones, we are now to your I knew right away what it was going to be number one episode. And I'm going to make a prediction here.
Okay.
Okay. I think our number ones are going to be the same because it's either is the same or you haven't touched on it at all.
Okay.
So let's see
Yeah, I wouldn't
what's
be
your number
surprised
one.
either. And this is one that is also Hope. You mentioned my wife, Hope Madden. She likes this one too. It is funny and it's smart and it is from the second season, fourth episode, Alvin Brickrock Presents. The takeoff
No.
on Alfred Hitchcock.
Wow. I
Is that?
totally missed over that one.
Oh, this,
No.
yeah, this one is so funny. Again, it involves a next door neighbor where Alvin Brickrock moves in, and Fred and Barney, they read these True Detective magazines that they get from Arnold the Newsboy. And it's so funny. Early on, Arnold is like, "How can you get hooked on such trash?" Which I think is funny. And they see this ad in there, and they become convinced that their neighbor, Alvin Brickrock, who looks and sounds just like Alfred Hitchcock, is this escaped convict, Albert Bonehart. And so they go over there, they sneak in the house, they find reasons to believe that their neighbor has murdered his wife and put her body in a trunk. And they find that he's got in his house, he's got all this scary stuff like a piranakeet. It's a parakeet that's also a piranha that swims around in there. And it's just full of so many funny lines. They're over there and they see a book on in his house. They see a book on archaeology, and Barney looks at it and says, "Your real name is Archie Oogly." And it's pronounced archaeology. And it's just silly, funny things like that. And that they get when they're caught snooping around in Brickrock's house, he comes home. And Barney's startled and he says, "What are you doing in your living room?" And just silly things like that. I think it's just hilarious, and it nails the whole Alfred Hitchcock impression, which was a very popular show at the time.
Oh yeah.
And it's got that creepy vibe that Alfred Hitchcock does, and it has a little bit of a twist ending where you think, did he really kill his wife? Did he not? Are they on a goose chase and they're suspecting this guy for no reason? And it's just front to back, I think it's one of the funniest episodes in the entire series.
Really? I can't believe I missed. So was there a rope hanging out of the trunk?
No,
That would have been a good
that
nod.
would there's not, but it gets stuck and they jimmy it open, and then Wilma surprises them. It's really funny.
Oh.
It packs a lot into like 23 minutes. It really does.
I can't believe I missed that one. I've got to go back and find it now because that's not even wasn't even on my radar.
Okay.
That was a great one. Wow, good choice. Well, so here's mine, and which we've not mentioned at all. It's a later episode, season six. It's actually the episode right after Samantha. It's episode seven. It's The Great Gazoo
Oh,
with
yeah.
Harvey Korman. Just I love Harvey Korman and from the Carol Burnett days and going forward. And it was just so interesting how they brought this alien Gazoo who crashes in front of them, and they end up saving him by pushing the buttons to open him up. And in true, Flintstone style, you've got all of this Stone Age around you, and he is 2 foot tall, green, and an alien from another planet that can basically grant their wishes. And so, of course, in typical style, they mess it up. The girls want them to go to an expensive restaurant, and so they get Gazoo to make them all of these things. And the police show up thinking they've, stolen all of these goods at one point, and they get away from that, and they take them to the restaurant, and then Gazoo was taking a nap or something, so doesn't hear them calling. By the time it's ready to check out, there's no money, so they end up washing dishes to get it done. It's just a fun episode. And later on when they do Viva Rock Vegas, the movie, I think Alan Cummings actually comes back and revisits it and is Gazoo in that episode. So I mean in that movie. So that's
Yeah.
one. What did you think about Gazoo?
I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's a sticking point. The before Gazoo, after Gazoo episodes. I go back and forth. I wasn't really a big fan of it originally. Sometimes I think it's kind of a cheat where they're into the series late, and it's almost like in a show or a movie where someone wins the lottery. Well, you now have this easy out. Gazoo can just do anything. That's very convenient. But I can't say it didn't have funny moments because it does. Gazoo, I like Harvey Korman as the voice, and there are episodes where I think Gazoo provides some funny things. But I admit I'm a little wishy-washy on whether I like the entire device of Gazoo or not. I'm usually partial to the pre-Gazoo episodes. Not to sound too
Well,
much like a snob.
no, a true Flintstones aficionado, I can respect that because it is different. But I guess for me, it's just it's again Harvey Korman. He's just so hilarious.
Yeah, it's a great voice.
Yeah, you put him and Tim Conway together, and they could make a phone book seem hilarious. And I love the fact too, when I was researching this, is that Harvey Korman is actually in both of the movies. I didn't know this, but I thought they would use his voice as the Great Gazoo. But of course, they brought Alan Cummings in. So in that movie, he is like the voice on a dictaphone. So
Oh,
small parts, but still
I
cameos where
didn't know that
they're still
either.
bringing him through.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about this show is my favorite is one thing, and yours, you're like,
Yeah.
eh, but that's okay, because
That's
you've
right.
got your reasons why your other stuff is favorites. So I love it. I
There are
love it.
a lot of episodes to consider. Yeah.
And then there's the other shows like what was it called? The Man Called Fred, where he's like a police detective or no, private detective. And there's another series where the four of them move to a city, and oh, it's one where Captain Caveman is in it because they're both working for the Daily Rock, the ladies, and the two guys are being police officers.
Are those the ones? Because I remember the ones where Pebbles and Bam Bam were grown up and they had their
Yes.
own friends. Yeah, I was. I have to admit, I did not care for those.
Yeah, you're a purist. I could see
I
that.
guess so. Yeah. I didn't watch them. I didn't watch them as much either. So I don't know them as well. But I remember seeing a few of them. And then they brought in Pebbles and Bam Bam's other friends as side characters. I'm like, I'm out.
It's okay. Good stuff. So you're really, I love the fact that you're really hitting on the songs because they
Oh, I
were a
love the
big part of
songs.
those specials. Yeah.
Yeah, love the songs. And some like I say, the Yabba Dabba Doo song. I hum it. And the lyrics. You listen to the lyrics to some of them. They're very clever,
Yeah.
which brings up a point that a lot of people I have found over the years don't realize the actual lyrics of the theme song, where they say, "Let's ride with the family down the street." Then the next line, people a lot don't realize, courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. I found over the years that a lot of people don't realize that's what they're saying, but it is.
Yeah, and going through this, I didn't realize that they changed the scene, the theme song. Like, I think it was the third season or the fourth season. It becomes a little different. But you, I don't even know which one is in my head. But I'm always hearing, you know, the when he runs.
Yeah, and then of course I always think that the Simpsons did a great parody of the Flintstones with that song.
Yeah,
Meet the Flintstones. It was Homer Simpson. He's the greatest guy in history, and it's really really funny. Because I love The Simpsons as well, as you know, as you do.
Yeah, yeah. So Tina was actually mentioned to me. There was a crossover with them and the Jetsons.
I don't
remember that.
And I have to. I know it's in the set that I have at home, and which I should have brought. But it is. There's a picture of the. I don't remember it well either, to be honest with you. It had to be later, but there was a crossover. Yeah.
I was thinking it had to be a special episode because I don't. I know it wasn't in the list of episodes for the six seasons.
Yeah.
But good stuff. Good stuff. Well, George, man, awesome list. Some great picks. I knew this would be a lot of fun.
It is.
You know, and I love that you've got this big horror everything out there, but inside are the Flintstones.
It is always.
And plus, you got to have mad respect for your love of Evel Knievel, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, Flintstones, Evel Knievel, you know, things that bedrocks of my childhood. Throw in some Johnny Carson, some Charlie's Angels, and that was it.
Yeah, that's some great stuff, man. Raised upright. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for coming on and taking the time to do the show. I really, really appreciate it. It was great. I got you both one-on-one, and now, we'll do it. And I also want to thank all of you out there in the podcast universe for joining us and listening to this episode of Fave Five from Hands. We really hope you liked it. And if you did, please tell a friend and maybe they'll tell some of their friends, and then they'll tell two friends, and then soon everybody's hair will be beautiful. If you like the show, that's one thing to do. If you don't like it, maybe tell somebody who you don't like, because that could ruin their whole afternoon if you think about it. You can always interact with us on Twitter, X at Fave, the number 5 from Fans, and we're also on all the other socials at Fave 5 from Fans, spelled out. New episodes come out every Friday. So be sure to subscribe and follow us so you can catch all the episodes. And don't forget to look out for our other show, Complete Disarray with Jamie Ray, where we take one topic and just ramble on and on and on about it. It's in a good way, though. I mean, in a good way. So, and remember, folks, it may not be the best. It may not be the most popular. But if it's your favorite, then it's good enough for us. Thanks so much for joining us. Take us out, George.
Yabba dabba doo.